Alley has changed quite a lot today, but it still has offices either side of it, not so many of the older buildings. Here, though, you do get a sense. This is the famous Jamaica Wine House, which is right up against the church tower. This little passageway leads out to Cornhill. So somewhere near here could have been Scrooge's office, because one of the things we know is that Bob Cratchit goes out onto Cornhill on Christmas Eve when he's finally allowed to go home. Here are a lot of little things that, unless your screen's very sharp, you won't be able to see, but it's things like lamppost marked. And there are also things that mark out fire plug on the maps. And that's part of the story as well, because Dickens says that the water plug had frozen up and turned to misanthropic ice. It's a bit like Scrooge himself. And what he's talking about is these sort of things. There are not many of them left today. This one, sadly, was being used as a sort of temporary dustbin when I walked past it. But this is what we're talking about. Access to water in the event of fire is a major, major problem in London. And with good water supplies came better deployment of these fire plugs. So you have to imagine this sort of thing frozen up on Christmas Eve. Scrooge's Melancholy Tavern, I don't think it would be the Jamaica Wine House and the Jamaica Coffee House as it was for a time, far, far too convivial and successful a place. But there is something close by that Dickens had already written about and made immortal at the time he wrote Christmas Carol. The Georgian Vulture. Georgian Vulture, which is seconds away from St. Michael's Church. The Georgian Vulture, which still, under normal circumstances, serves wonderful lunches and takes private bookings. And you might be able to see here, it says, Georgian Vulture, Thomas's Chop House, on the old brass sign. And the Georgian Vulture, where Mr. Pickwick had stayed in Dickens's first great success, The Pickwick Papers. And obviously he knew the area very well to write about it. They celebrate Dickens at the Georgian Vulture. This is peeping in, as Dickens himself would have done, into various buildings, peeping in through the window into the main room of the Georgian Vulture, which is dedicated to Dickens with lots of illustrations and prints and, of course, a bust of the man himself. Normally at Christmas time, he has a little Santa hat these days, adorning his magnificent locks. Perhaps it's just as well I took that photograph a few weeks ago. Close by is Exchange Alley, and this is where the Georgian Vulture is, just along here. And Exchange Alley is an incredible little warren at the beginning of the 19th century, and it's still a bit of a warren today, although the buildings are not so old. One of them marks the site of Garraway's Coffee House. It says here, rebuilt 1874, so that's 4 years after Dickens died. But Dickens loved Garraway's and was fascinated by it. He was particularly fascinated by the fact that whenever he went into it, there always appeared to be the same people, the same men, waiting. And they always looked up as though, you know, this might be the person they were waiting for. And that person never arrived. And he happened upon Garraway's when it was closed and bolted and shuttered one weekend, and he was a bit horrified by it. He said, I can imagine the man who cuts the sandwiches lying on his back in a hayfield on his day off, but he couldn't imagine the patrons of Garraway's leaving the place, because they didn't seem to have anywhere to go. And then he has the happy thought that there used to be a crypt, a medieval crypt, where they kept the wine underneath the coffee house. And he thinks that's the solution, perhaps. The patrons of Garraway's are herded in at the end of the week and released on Mondays to take up their usual places. He was thinking about Garraway's at the time he wrote A Christmas Carol, because he uses it in Martin Chuzzlewit. And he returns to it a few years later in another one of his Christmas stories. Bear in mind, Christmas Carol is the first of Dickens's great Christmas books, but almost every year from then on, for the rest of his life, he produced a work dedicated to the Christmas period. Often these were special Christmas editions of the magazines he was editing, with contributions from a variety of writers. Another round of stories by the Christmas Fire, which was the Christmas issue of Household Words in 1853. A couple of years earlier, Dickens writes the Christmas edition of household words, his various contributors add their stories in, and the poor relations story is Dickens's major contribution that Christmas. The theme, by the way, was a Christmas dinner where all the guests stand up and do their bit. They all tell their story. And the poor relation tells a deeply moving story. He basically says, "Everything you think about me is wrong," to the assembled group. And he goes on to describe how they all think that he has a tragic life, that his girl deserted him because he wasn't making enough money, that his business partner cheated him, that he whiles away a lot of the time and sits in Garraway's coffee house, as it says here. But he says, this isn't true. The girl I loved stuck with me through thick and thin. We married, we had a family. My business partner was an honest man and we've done very well. And when I leave you tonight, I shall return home to my castle. But at the end of the story, it's revealed as a castle in the air. In other words, a happy alternative life that the poor relation has made up. It's impossible to read that story, I think, without a lump coming to the throat. It's a classic little miniature Christmas tale by Dickens. Now, to return to A Christmas Carol, of course, we're going to go out onto Cornhill and to the Royal Exchange in a moment. But let me just come out of screen sharing and check in with you. Anybody got any questions that you would like to ask at this point? Well, I have a quick sip of tea.